The rosters have locked. It is, of course, the first Monday Night Raw coming out of WWE Backlash. Raw has a new roster, and Raw also was the kickoff tonight for both the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments. The first King of the Ring tournament that they have done in 3 years, and the first, well, technically first Queen of the Ring. I know it had a different name before. But the tournament's kicked off tonight. As you can see here, this is the bracket for the men's King of the Ring tournament. Well, I mean, I guess it's the men's tournament. We already knew that. But this is the Raw side of the tournament. And you look at some of these matches that you have here on your screen. All but one took place on tonight's show. You've got Gunther and Sheamus. You've got Ilya Dragunov and Ricochet. Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor, which was supposed to take place tonight and did not. Unfortunately, before Raw, Adam Pearce posted a video announcing that McIntyre was not medically able to compete, and as a result, he was removed from the King of the Ring tournament. So we did not get McIntyre against Finn Balor, which was very disappointing, but it is what it is. I mean, McIntyre, he has not wrestled on television in a month since he lost that four-way match to determine the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title. He hasn't wrestled at all since April 20th. That was in a match in Belfast when WWE was on its European tour. So he's dealing with the hyperextended elbow that he suffered at WrestleMania. Can't imagine it's going to keep him out for too much longer, but unfortunately he was not cleared tonight. And not only was he not cleared, sadly that was the men's tournament. On the women's side, we had an injury issue as well. As you can see here, the match is Shayna Baszler against Zelina Vega, which is going to take place this weekend. We've got Io Sky against Natalya. That did take place tonight. Ivy Nile against Zoe Stark. And then Asuka was supposed to wrestle Lyra Valkyria, the newest addition to the Raw women's roster. Unfortunately, Asuka is injured. And they did not tell us what the nature of the injury was. The last time we saw her would have been on Saturday of Backlash when she and Kairi lost the women's tag team titles to Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. So hopefully it is nothing serious, but never a good thing to have two of the best people that you got in either of these tournaments go down due to injury. But Gunther and Sheamus have a little bit of a history together, in case you didn't know. You think back to that first match, Clash at the Castle, 2022. A fucking classic between those two for the Intercontinental title. They ran it back a few months later. Maybe a couple of months later, it was on SmackDown. Another great match. Then they go to WrestleMania last year. And we get the triple threat match for the Intercontinental title with Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. And so tonight was match number four. And it's only the first round. They put these two guys in the first round of the tournament. That was our main event on the show tonight. And they delivered another banger, as Sheamus likes to say. Another great match between these two. Gunther is moving on. Sheamus is not. Nothing to be ashamed of, though. Two guys go in there. They beat the hell out of each other. I could watch these two go out there and beat the shit out of each other every month if they wanted to run that match back. That main event right there was everything I am hoping that this tournament is going to be. And I don't want to give all the credit just to Gunther and Sheamus, because as great as that match was, there was another match on this show tonight that I think was even better. And it was also in the first round, and it was Ilya Dragunov. His first proper match here on Monday Night Raw. He had that match a few weeks ago with Shinsuke Nakamura, but he was still the NXT champion. He hadn't been called up yet. Tonight was his first official introduction to the Monday Night Raw roster. And this man went out there against Ricochet, and they tore the house down in front of a crowd that was hard to please tonight in Hartford. You know, we got really spoiled over the weekend in France with that crowd in Lyon, okay, that it was just loud all night long for anything and everything. To go from that to this was quite the come down, but yet these two guys went out there. They won the crowd over, they had a great match, and Ilya Dragunov is moving on to the next round of the King of the Ring. Those two matches on this show tonight, those are the two best matches. That is what King of the Ring should be all about. That's what I think of when I think of King of the Ring. What I want this tournament to be is what those two matches delivered here tonight. And Balor and McIntyre had the potential to do the same, but we just didn't get to see it. But a great start for the King of the Ring. And honestly, also, I would say a very good start for Queen of the Ring. There were a couple of matches that didn't really click on the women's side, but the women's tournament as well, also very good action. And you compare it to the Queen's Crown from 3 years ago. My God, it's like night and day. We had in one match tonight, Natty had a match on this show with Io Sky, their first time meeting one-on-one. Do you realize that the entire length of their match tonight in the opening round was longer than every other match that took place in the Queen's Crown 3 years ago? That's the difference between what we got then and what we got now. And this was only the first half. We still don't know any of the matches that are going to be taking place on SmackDown on Friday, but we still have the SmackDown portion of both these tournaments yet to come. We also, on the show tonight, we had two matches made official for King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia, one for the Intercontinental Championship, the other for the Women's World Championship. That segment tonight was one of the worst. On the show, when Becky Lynch came to the ring to sit down with Michael Cole, I know what they were trying to do. It did not work. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you take a swing and you hit a base hit. Sometimes you take a swing and a miss. That segment was a swing and a miss. That was one of the weaker segments on the entire show tonight. But outside of that, then outside, as I said, of a couple of the women's tournament matches that did not click, I thought this was a very good episode of Raw. Every match on the show, well, I should say most of the matches, the tournament matches, even the ones that weren't that great, the matches tonight had purpose. It all feeds into the King of the Ring. It all feeds into the Queen of the Ring. They had a few other stories that were playing out around it, you know, the Intercontinental stuff and the women's title stuff. So they were able to kind of push that along a little bit. But I thought for the opening salvo here for these two tournaments, they did a very good job tonight. And I am very much looking forward to the other matches that are yet to come in this tournament in the weeks ahead. This is your Monday Night Raw review. Again, it is the first Raw post-WWE draft. It is Monday, May 6, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Like, subscribe, super chats are open. 450 likes is the goal for our Be the Booker segment tonight. Why 450 instead of 400 or some other number? I don't know, because I felt like it. So 450 likes, that's the goal. Let's get those likes up. The show opened tonight with Michael Cole telling us that the first three matches of this tournament that were in that graphic that I showed you before, three of the four on the men's side, would be taking place on the show tonight. And same for the Queen of the Ring tournament. One match from each would not be taking place on the show. Originally, they advertised it and made it sound like they were all going to be taking place. We're going to get eight matches from both tournaments. We got six. One men's match and one women's match are being saved for a live event this weekend. That's going to be Kofi Kingston against Rey Mysterio, and the other one, I believe, is Shayna Baszler against Zelina Vega. He also announced that McIntyre was out of the men's tournament because he was not medically cleared. So, and look, about the two matches, because there might be some divided opinion about this. The two matches that we did not get on the show tonight, and they're saving it for the live event or a couple of live events this weekend. I don't hate that. I actually think it's smart because it takes two matches from the tournament, puts them on these live events, and gives them stakes. All of a sudden, those matches, they have importance for what you see on TV. I don't think that's a bad thing. Now, if they had pulled Gunther and Sheamus, if they had pulled Dragunov and Ricochet, I would have been pissed because I actually wanted to see those matches. And honestly, even Kofi against Rey, I'm kind of intrigued by that match. I don't know if they'll record it. They'll probably show highlights. I don't know that they'll put the whole match online, even though they should. Yeah, they have this little thing called the network on Peacock. I mean, they could pretty much do whatever they want. As far as I know, though, I don't believe it's going to be televised. So the key matches that I was most interested in, we got them tonight. And so I don't really think it's a big deal. And also, when you think about it, they were originally teasing eight matches for Raw. Now, you could pull that off, although you would have had to shorten the length of some of the matches. Most of the matches in these tournaments tonight had a decent length to them. SmackDown does not have the same luxury that Raw does. SmackDown's only 2 hours. So, as ambitious as it was to try to do eight matches in 3 hours, try to do that on a 2-hour show on Fox is going to be next to impossible. And that may be why they did it the way they did it, because they're just not going to be able to do the same thing on Friday, which makes sense to me. So I'm okay with that. The Judgment Day entered first. Everybody except Rhea Ripley. Down to the ring. Damian Priest, still World Heavyweight Champion. After his defense against Jey Uso on Saturday, he said that everybody loved Jey Uso, but it doesn't matter because he is still El Campeón. And Priest said that he wanted to address what happened, not even during the match, but what happened after the match. And what happened with his fellow Judgment Day members. And Finn Balor apologized to him. And Priest said, no, I'm the one who should be apologizing. He said that he appreciated their help and he was still champion thanks to them. And then he said that he appreciated JD McDonagh, which is something he hasn't said so far. He called Balor his brother. They all hugged. Dominic was standing there kind of off to the side all by himself with his arm in a sling, and so he joined in the hug. One big hug fest here. Priest said that Balor would be the next King of the Ring. Balor said that he got a first round bye because Drew McIntyre is out of the tournament. So he gets a bye into the next round, and that's his first step towards the Prince becoming a king. Balor wanted Samantha Irvin to announce it now, but before she could, Adam Pearce walked out and he had a little announcement to make. And he informed Finn Balor that, in fact, you are not getting a bye into the next round. You are going to have to earn your way into the next round. So he told all the other Judgment Day members to clear the ring because he's about to bring out Finn Balor's opponent. And his opponent turned out to be main event Jey Uso. And everybody was very happy to see him. Now, it sucks. It really sucks that Drew was not cleared to be in this thing because I was looking forward to him. Looking at the names that have so far been announced, we don't even know all the names yet on the SmackDown side. We know LA Knight declared and we know Santos Escobar declared, but we don't know them all yet. Gunther and Drew McIntyre were the two favorites, at least for me. I mean, Gunther is going to be everybody's favorite, but I thought McIntyre, if it wasn't going to be Gunther, McIntyre would have been my pick. You know, just because to have him win, and if the winner gets a title opportunity, it just makes sense to send him to Clash at the Castle and have him challenge for the World Heavyweight title. Doesn't mean it can't happen. It still might go down that way. But him being pulled from the tournament is a big loss, but it's the benefit of having another big name on that roster. You know, Jey Uso is out there and he's got nothing to do. He already lost his world title match, a Backlash, so what else are you going to do with him? All of a sudden, a spot opens up. You put him in King of the Ring. See, so it helps to have another big name on the roster at their disposal. Now, they aired a commercial for SmackDown talking about the qualifying matches continuing. And that's how they phrased it. They said more qualifying matches for both tournaments. So they're considering these first round matches qualifying matches. I don't like that. I mean, that's stupid. They're already calling it first round. It's part of the tournament. I make the distinction between qualifying matches and tournament matches. You're talking about round one, round two, round three. These are not qualifying matches. These are men that have already been selected to be in the tournament. If you want to have qualifying matches, then call them qualifying matches. This is the qualifying round. But that's apparently how they're looking at it. Finn Balor against Jey Uso, first round match. Jey hit Balor with a suicide dive, and Balor got back into the ring, rolled out the other side. Jey jumped off the ring steps. Balor, though, caught him with a shot to the breadbasket and then dumped him over the announce desk. That took us into a commercial. Jey rallied with a super kick, a clothesline, another super kick. Balor avoided a top rope move and caught Jey with a shotgun dropkick. So as Michael Cole says, Jey laying there in the drop zone, up to the top goes Balor. He tries for the double stomp. Jey moves out of the way and then spears Balor for a near fall. Drew McIntyre walks through the crowd. Well, look who's here. He's got the sleeve on his arm because, again, he's got the hyperextended elbow. But here he is, and he hops over the barricade. This distracted Jey. Balor rolled him up for a two count, put him back down with a sling blade. Balor set up for something. Jey cut him off, and then he pinned him after a second spear. And Jey Uso now advances to the next round of the King of the Ring. McIntyre did not look happy about this. When Jey got the win, he climbed up onto the apron, into the ring. Jey bailed out to the floor. I thought this was standard fare here from these two. I was looking forward to Balor and McIntyre more than what we got here. Pretty standard stuff. They got 13 minutes, which is a good amount of time. I remember those first round matches in the original King of the Ring. They all had 15-minute time limits, so this came pretty close. That's what did in Luger and Tatanka in that first tournament. They went 15 minutes, and neither man advanced. Now, I figured Balor was losing to Drew, so they just substituted one for the other. Balor was still going to lose here anyway, no matter what. And Jey now would face the winner of the match coming up later in the show between Ricochet and Ilya Dragunov. Backstage, McIntyre was barking at Adam Pearce about something. He was very unhappy about having Jey Uso replace him in the tournament. Pearce said, look, it's not about Uso. It's about your arm. It's about your arm and you not being medically cleared. And McIntyre hopped into his black Corvette and drove away. They flashed a QR code onto the screen. I don't know where it leads, but there it was. Just as Drew drove off and he was circling around to leave the parking area, the parking garage, not even 5 seconds later, who pulls up where his car was before? Who pulls up in his yellow Camaro Z28? CM Punk. That's who. The CM Punk who was trapped all weekend in WWE headquarters. He was legitimately trapped there for a little while. So he was kind of letting everybody follow along on Instagram here. You know, you would think they brought it up a couple of times here on the show tonight. You would think they would throw that footage up. At least throw the Instagram stuff up. They're just kind of talking about it like everybody knows what the fuck they're talking about. But there he is. Punk pulls up in his Camaro right in front of Adam Pearce. And Pearce tells Punk, you're late. And Punk said, I know. And he wanted to know where McIntyre was. And Pearce said, you just missed him, thank God. So Punk was not happy about that. He was not happy about missing McIntyre. He asked Pearce, go have production hit my music. Because I have something to say. Well, at least he found his way out of the tower. So that's good. Camera followed Punk, stayed with him as he was walking through the back towards the gorilla position. Before he got to gorilla, though, he walked right by Chad Gable, who was coaching, or I guess yelling at the Alpha Academy members. Gable put his fist out for a bump. Punk dapped him up and told him, hey, lay off them a little bit. Take it easy on those guys. So then we follow Punk through Gorilla. They hit his music. And out to the crowd goes CM Punk. Everybody obviously very happy to see him. You know, I will say this. This was a great shot. We've had this several times recently. This is one of the new production changes we've gotten over the last few months. I do think that they run the risk of running it into the ground if they're going to do it for everybody. But this is a cool shot, though. Him walking through, they hit Cult of Personality. Again, it's a production thing that I like that they do now. I just think you don't want to overuse it. You know, I don't want to see them get too cute for their own good where they're doing it with everybody on the show. And then after a while, it's like, eh, okay, whatever. We've seen this 1,000 times already. So Punk goes to the ring and he apologizes for showing up late. He got locked inside headquarters in Stamford, and by the time he got out, it dawned on him that Raw was at the XL Center. So he decided to drive here to be in front of all these maniacs. Can you imagine if Vince McMahon still had keycard access to the new Titan Tower? The old Titan Tower is abandoned. I don't know what their plans are for it. I had a friend drove by. He said, yep, still saw the logo. It's still there. 1241 Main Street. They haven't announced whether or not they're going to put it up for sale or what they're going to do with it. So they're all moved into the new building. Imagine if Vince McMahon still had access to his office or the gym. And now CM Punk has legitimately locked himself in Titan Tower over the weekend. And the only way for him to get out is for someone to call Vince McMahon to come to the office to help get him out of the building. How awkward would that be? Or even if Punk is just sort of walking around, because he used the gym while he was there. Imagine, he's like, ah, fuck it, I'm going to get a workout in. He goes into the gym, and there's Vince McMahon working up a sweat in the gym. That would have been very awkward. See, that I would have wanted to watch on his Instagram stories. That would have been very interesting. That would have been must see. So he said he wanted to come out here also to confront Drew McIntyre, but apparently he has left the building. So then he looked over at Pat McAfee and reminded him, you know, last week I asked you to time my promo to make sure I stayed under the 5 minutes and 46 seconds that Drew McIntyre was world heavyweight champion for at WrestleMania this year. Tonight, he said, what if I stay out here long enough to let Drew McIntyre come back to the building? Because we all know Drew is on his phone. He's stopped at a light, tweeting in his car, finding out that Punk is at the building. So he encouraged everybody in Hartford and everybody watching to go ahead and to tweet Drew McIntyre. And if he's not a coward, he'll turn his car around and come back to catch the beating that he deserves. In the meantime, he said, is it okay if I tell all of you a story? Because he said, look, I'm going to hijack this show if I have to until Drew comes back. So do you mind if I tell you a story? He said, back in January in the Royal Rumble, Drew McIntyre DDT'd him so hard that he posted his arm to prevent the brunt of the damage from going to his neck. And in doing so, he tore his triceps off the bone. And he was heartbroken. He thought Drew had ruined his WrestleMania dreams, but he had a good cry about it. He had a great surgery, picked himself back up, and he realized that Drew McIntyre didn't ruin anything. He said, if anything, he delayed his WrestleMania dreams. Because in baseball, they call him a five-tool player because he's got everything. Drew McIntyre, just a tool. He's been listening to McIntyre running his mouth about how he prayed for this. He prayed for him to get injured. He picked a fight with the pettiest man on the roster, maybe on earth. And he said last week he's going to make Drew's life a living hell, and that's exactly what he's doing. He called McIntyre a hater. He hates the way that Punk looks. He hates the way that Punk walks. He hates the way that he talks. And yet, kind of the irony of it all, is that all he does is try to be just like him. He tries to walk like him. He sits like him when he's in the ring. He tries to talk like him with the bombs and the one-liners and everything. And then it occurred to him, does Drew McIntyre hate CM Punk? Or does Drew McIntyre hate himself? Apparently he just signed that sweet new contract. I don't think Drew McIntyre hates himself. I think he's loving life right now. Got that fat new contract thanks to the Endeavor people, right? I'm sure they set him up very nicely for the next few years. He's probably going to be world heavyweight champion soon. I think Drew's sitting on cloud nine. He said, Drew, you prayed for this, and I broke your elbow. And if you show up now or the next time I see you, I'm going to break your face. And then I'm going to break your heart. And all this praying that you do, I don't know if you're a God-fearing man, but the fact that you have not shown up yet. He's looking at his watch. The fact that you have not shown up yet tells me there's one thing that you do fear. One name, three syllables, CM Punk. They played his music. He looked into the camera. He threatened that if Drew makes him go to Glasgow, he's going to hide in a bowl of haggis. He's going to hop out or pop out. I don't know why he would hop. He's a fucking rabbit. He's going to pop out. And he's going to break Drew's head. What is haggis? I'm drawing a blank on this. I'm sure somebody will fill me in. I've not had haggis before. I don't know. Is this one of those things like in Australia, you got the Vegemite? I don't know. Somebody will fill me in on this. But he's going to pop out of it, though. He's going to pop out of the haggis if he goes to Scotland. You know, he also said he was going to hijack the show until Drew came back, and then the segment just ended. So much for that. Just realized, he said he was going to hijack the show. I'm not leaving until he shows up. And then he left. I just like how Drew leaves in his black Corvette and then Punk pulls up in his yellow Camaro. See, these men are riding in style. I don't know why they did the whole tweet Drew to get him to come back angle if he actually was not going to come back. But a good promo here from Punk, teasing that he will be at Clash at the Castle. The only question is, and I don't know that anybody really doubted that he would be there in some form, but the only question really is, in what capacity will he be there? Will he be there as a spectator to try to screw over Drew McIntyre, or will he be medically cleared and able to actually get in the ring and wrestle? that's really it. I McIntyre being in King of the Ring, I thought there was a pretty decent chance that he would be the one to go all the way to the end, get a world title match, and win the world title from Damian Priest. He's out of the tournament. Doesn't mean that he won't challenge for the title, but I cannot imagine Drew McIntyre in Glasgow doing anything other than one of two things: wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship and winning, or wrestling CM Punk. The CM Punk tore his triceps at the end of January. Yeah, I don't know the date that he had surgery. Maybe it was the first week of February. That normally is an injury that is probably, yeah, you're probably looking at a minimum of 5 or 6 months. Could be longer. I guess it depends on the severity of the injury. June 15th is going to be cutting it awfully close, you know, because if he's going to be on the show, they'd have to start promoting him for a match now. I don't know if Punk's going to be cleared by then. I still look at it and think that McIntyre and Punk is a SummerSlam match, not Clash at the Castle. But I don't know. I don't know if he'll be medically cleared by then or not. But I don't think Drew's hyperextended elbow is going to keep him out for very long. Punk being in the ring, though, for Glasgow, I don't know, just a little iffy to me. Okay, so I'm being told that haggis is sheep guts stuffed with oats. Sheep guts? I think I'll pass. I'm sure it's delicious. I think I'll pass. Ricochet was backstage with Kathy Kelly, and he was asked about Ilya Dragunov tonight, his opponent. He says this is the King of the Ring, and this is his chance, and whatever. He's talking about that, and in walks Braun Strowman, who made his return on Raw last week. Braun Strowman, who walked in wearing a cowboy hat. Kathy asks why he interjected himself last week in the Judgment Day's business when they were out there with Logan Paul and they were laying a beatdown on Jey Uso. And Braun says that he just can't stand bullies. But this is not about him. This is about Ricochet, and he wished his little buddy luck. Io Sky, one-on-one for the first time ever with Natalya. This was a first-round Queen of the Ring match. Natty dedicated her match, if you missed it, on Twitter earlier in the day. She dedicated this match to her favorite King of the Ring winner, Owen Hart, who was also pointed out tomorrow is his birthday. He would have been 59 years old. When he died, he was only 34, so he would have turned 59 tomorrow. Owen is one of the great King of the Rings, King of the Ring winners. Natty hit a superplex after a commercial break for a two count. She fought out of a crossface. Io followed with a standing double foot stomp and then a drop kick to a seated Natty for two. They traded reversals until Natalya hit a pretty sweet sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. That got a good reaction from the crowd. Natty got a sharpshooter applied. Io, though, quickly countered, and the momentum of doing so sent Natty flying backwards, headfirst into the bottom turnbuckle. Io followed with a Meteora in the corner, and then her Genius of the Sky moonsault for the win to advance to the very next round of the tournament. This was really good. I got to give them both credit for this. This was the best Natalya match that I don't even remember the last time she even had time to go out there and have this kind of a match with somebody. So this was the best Natty match that I have seen in a very long time. She did say also in that tweet earlier that she was very excited to wrestle Io because they had not wrestled before in all the years they've been in the company. Io's probably been there since at least 2019, maybe earlier than that, probably, right? 2018, maybe, when she was in NXT. And this was their first time. So you could tell she was probably extra motivated going out there. She was really looking forward to this match. And again, it's not that Natty can't go out there and have good matches. You know, with the right opponent, she absolutely can. It's just that she's been there so long that she has wrestled everybody there is to wrestle 10 times over. And she has, it's the Dolph Ziggler thing. Dolph Ziggler, right? No one will deny he's a talented guy, but he was there forever. We see him every single week for 15 years, and he's wrestled everybody there is to wrestle. And also, he loses a lot. So it's hard to kind of bring yourself to care about some of these people when they come out there. Natty falls into that same category. She's been there even longer. Rarely wins. She's just there. They plug her in wherever they can fill a hole for a tag team or whatever it is that they may need. And you forget that when they put her out there with the right person and they give them 10, 12 minutes, you know, she can still go. So again, this was the best match of hers that I've seen in a very long time. The 10 minutes that this match got was longer than any of the matches, including the finals of the Queen's Crown 3 years ago. That tournament was a fucking embarrassment. I ranted about that shit back then, and that's exactly what I did not want this Queen of the Ring tournament to be. And I'm happy to say that so far, anyway, it's only been one night, but so far, this is already light years ahead of whatever the hell they gave us then. So that's a plus. After the match, Dakota Kai got in the ring. It was Dakota, it was Io, and it was Kairi. Dakota announced that she was taking the place of an injured Asuka against Lyra Valkyria later tonight in the first round. And then she issued a warning to Bianca Belair, to Jade Cargill, and to Becky Lynch that damage control is coming for everything. So again, they didn't bother to tell us what the nature of the injury was. It had to have happened in the Backlash match, although I didn't see an obvious spot where she would have gotten hurt. The finish of the match was Bianca giving her that KOD onto Kairi. So I don't know what it is. Hopefully it's nothing too serious and she'll be back soon. But disappointing that she and Drew both get bounced out of these tournaments. Then we got a first round King of the Ring tournament match. We got Ilya Dragunov and we got Ricochet. And before I even get to that, you make a good point in the chat. John does. I believe it was Dakota Kai's birthday. And Dakota Kai, in her promo, got the what treatment from the crowd. We go from that great crowd in France back to the States, and we're back to this what bullshit. And it's the woman's birthday, and she's out there, and she's getting whatted. So she says what back to them, which, of course, is only going to encourage them. And I forgot the exact line. It was something like, say what if you're stupid, I think is what she said. And they said, what? Don't you realize by now, why do you even say it? Why do you even ask the question? Of course wrestling fans are stupid. Haven't they proven that time and time and time again? Do we really even need to do this test? Say what if you're stupid? What? Of course. We already know. On her birthday, no less, this woman got the what treatment. And now we get to the good stuff. Ilya Dragunov against Ricochet. Dragunov sent Ricochet back to the ring and hit him with a top rope missile drop kick for a near fall. Ricochet came back with a Hurricanrana off the top rope. Dragunov rolled to the floor and got hit by back-to-back suicide dives on two different sides of the ring. So Ricochet hit him once. Dragunov did not go down. He kind of used the barricade to keep himself upright. He stumbled to a different side of the ring, and so Ricochet came and hit him with a suicide dive there. And again, he doesn't go down. Now he's on a different side of the ring, and at that point, Ricochet hits a corkscrew plancha out over the top rope, takes out Dragunov. That gets Chance of Holy Shit, which got censored by USA before that took us into a second commercial break. Dragunov then hit a top rope senton splash for a near fall. And when he came down, I mean, he came down with all of his weight. He crushed this guy. It's like when you watch Akira Tozawa. Tozawa has the same move. He does this huge top rope flying senton. But he's a smaller guy. And he comes flying off the top with all of his weight. And it looks great. But in this case, I mean, he came crashing down on top of this man. How he didn't crush all of his ribs, I'll never know. Dragunov then hit Ricochet with chops in the corner. He went to go run the ropes. As he came in, Ricochet caught him with a super kick. Ricochet hit a rolling senton, followed by a springboard moonsault for two. This is awesome. Chan breaks out. Ricochet goes up top. He leaps over a charging Dragunov, who then catches him with a knee strike. Ricochet ducks a spinning back fist, hits him with a poison Rana. Ricochet goes for a springboard move. He got caught with a shot from Dragunov, who followed with an H-bomb. Dragunov went for his torpedo Moscow finish. Ricochet, though, as he's coming in, Ricochet catches him and hits the recoil and takes him out. Great near fall off of that. Ricochet goes up top. He gets cut off by Dragunov after he recovers. Dragunov gives him a superplex. So Ilya, at this point, had a small cut on his forehead. It was actually right between his eyes. It's like when Goldberg headbutted the fucking locker or the door, whatever it was, in the back, and he had like this blood dot in the middle of his head. That's what Dragunov had. And you will notice, if you are not a fan of his, in that you have not seen a lot of Ilya Dragunov in NXT UK or NXT, you will find that, I dare say, in the majority of his matches, he will probably end up bleeding, whether it's from the head or the mouth or from some place on his body. He's a very stiff worker. When he throws himself into, like, a maneuver, he throws himself into. He's very animated, the way he sells. He's one of the best sellers, I think, in the entire company right now. But he's just a very intense guy. So I actually wasn't surprised to see a little trickle of blood coming from his head. But however it happened, he went to the corner. He ended up hitting another H-bomb, which is basically a flying, diving forearm shot. And then he scored the pin. And this match went just shy of 15 minutes. Dragunov pulls Ricochet up, offers him a handshake. Ricochet accepted. This was a fantastic match. Absolutely great stuff here. These are the kinds of matches that I wanted to see when they first announced the brackets here for this King of the Ring tournament. This is right here what I was hoping that we would get. And this was the match of the night. I mean, you can't go wrong with the main event either. You can go either way, but I think I would give the edge to this match as the match of the tournament so far. As far as Dragunov's first official night, what a hell of a first night, officially. You know, the match with Nakamura a few weeks ago, it was a match. It was a way to not even introduce him so much. They did that. They had him and Roxanne Perez on the show. They really just wanted to illustrate the fact that the draft is coming up. And so anybody can show up on Raw. Anybody could show up on SmackDown. This was his introduction. Ricochet was the perfect opponent for him. It's a King of the Ring first round match. He wins and he advances to the next round. And you know what I noticed about him here in this match? This crowd that they had in Hartford were up and down, but they were mostly down. They were a very quiet crowd, not very animated. For his first match officially on the main roster here, this is a guy who, you know, there are people in the crowd who don't watch NXT, who may not know who he is. He got himself over in this match. He was getting cheered. He was getting reactions from the people. He got himself over just based on his work in the ring. He didn't cut a promo. He doesn't have some over-the-top character. We don't know much about him yet. There's time for that. He went out there and had a great wrestling match. And that's what got him over. And that's why I think he's going to be very successful on the main roster. He's very good at what he does. He's very intense. I think the main roster fans tend to gravitate to people like that. I do. I think these fans have an appreciation for the Gunthers and the Sheamuses of the world, or even McIntyre, and people, you know, these bigger guys, but these guys that go out there and they look tough, they beat the hell out of their opponent, they make it look very physical because he wrestles a very physical style. I think they respect that. And I think for that reason, he's going to do just fine on the main roster. So I think this was a great first night for him in front of what I would say was a tough crowd. He now faces Jey Uso in the next round. And I would say the way Drew McIntyre was eyeballing Jey at the end of that match earlier in the show, I'm seeing a Dragunov win, probably with the unintended assist from Drew McIntyre. And I don't know if McIntyre is going to give Dragunov a claymore, which would result in a disqualification of Jey Uso and screw him over that way, or if he's just going to cost Jey the match in some way. But I think we're going to see McIntyre get involved. And I think Dragunov is going to move on. And the reason I say that, and maybe I'm just trying to will it into existence, but the way things are shaping up here, we could, in the next couple of weeks, very well be in for a Gunther Ilya Dragunov match. And I am all about that. I am not of the mindset that, no, you can't do it now. You've got to wait. You got to build to it and do it later on. Why not both? Why not both? I don't see any issue matching up Dragunov and Gunther in the King of the Ring tournament, having Gunther beat him. And then later on, when he gets himself over and the time is right, whether it's next year or whenever it may be, you will eventually circle back around to Gunther and Ilya Dragunov. And at that point, maybe Dragunov will get that win over Gunther. I have no issue if they match these two guys up in this tournament. That's the match that I want to see. And that would only be a semifinal match. That's not even the finals. I'm pulling for Gunther and Dragunov. I got my fingers crossed here. That's the match I want to see. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's been a busy week for wrestling fans, busy month, really. A lot of content to consume, and that's to say nothing of all the content that I consume on Netflix. Raw hasn't moved there yet. But did you know that Netflix has thousands of shows in its library, but you only have access to a fraction of it? It's true. They have different content available depending on where you're located. It's insane that you're paying for Netflix and not getting access to everything that it has to offer. Watching Netflix without using ExpressVPN is like paying for a gym membership but only being able to use the treadmill. Why would you do that? You wouldn't. And you shouldn't have to here either. So how do you unblock all of that extra content? Well, I'm glad you asked. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. And it doesn't just work with Netflix. You can use it with other streaming services like BBC iPlayer and YouTube. I like watching reruns of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We were just talking about that on the stream the other night. I wish Uncle Phil were my uncle. I love Uncle Phil. Recently, I was able to watch it on Indian Netflix. It was simple. I just opened the ExpressVPN app. I selected India as my country. I tapped one button to connect. Then I refreshed Netflix and boom, there it was. And you can do this with tons of other shows too. If you're a fan of the original Star Trek series, you can find that on UK Netflix. It's actually kind of fun to fish around and see what you can find in different places. What I love about ExpressVPN though is how fast it is. I never experience any lag, no buffering, and it's compatible with all my devices, including my smart TV and my phone. It also encrypts my data so I can browse the web securely with no prying eyes. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Zoe Stark, one-on-one with Ivy Nile. First round Queen of the Ring tournament match. This is where the show kind of hit a wall. And the fans were very, very out of it here for this match. Ivy hit a delayed vertical suplex early on that was, it was impressive. She held her up there for 10 seconds. Ivy is smaller, just physically smaller than most of the women in that division. So for her to hold up Zoe for 10 seconds, I thought looked cool. Zoe came back with a springboard dropkick for two. Ivy hit a bulldog off the top rope. The top rope. Only got a two count out of it, though. Zoe knocked Ivy off the top, hit a reverse suplex, and then hit her Z360 finish for the win. This was the weakest match of either tournament so far. The crowd was just completely dead for it after being, you know, mostly up for everything else up to this point. There was also a kick, and this didn't help matters. There was a kick in this match here from Ivy Nile that missed by a mile. I mean, completely whiffed. And Zoe sold for it anyway. And the announcers tried to cover for it, but it was like, ugh. Yeah, some things just can't be saved. So that didn't look good. But yeah, easily the weakest of the tournament matches tonight. R-Truth was in the back. He was doing some comedy with Miz and Dan Hurley, who is the head coach of the UConn Huskies. Truth thought that the NCAA was an independent wrestling promotion. That's what he thought. He thought He was looking to book a world tag team title match. And so he thought that the NCAA was an independent promotion, and he wanted to do champion against champion, you know, because the Huskies are the champions. So Miz was upset about Truth not consulting him about who their next challenger should be. Enough with this. After they went off, Adam Pearce got confronted by Bron Breakker, who actually had a very sensible question. Actually, a very good question. Why am I not in the King of the Ring? He got drafted to Raw, so did Dragunov. How come Dragunov is in and not Bron Breakker? Now, the easy answer is they didn't want to beat Bron. But for him to ask that question, it's a valid question. Adam Pearce didn't answer it. He just said, step into my office and we'll talk. But that is a very good question. Why wouldn't Bron Breakker be in the King of the Ring? Because he'd win the entire thing. Back in the Judgment Day clubhouse, Damian Priest told Finn Balor he didn't need to apologize for losing to Jey Uso earlier. It was only one match. JD McDonagh said that Balor probably wasn't 100% after Braun Strowman attacked them last week. Priest said that McDonagh could take care of Braun Strowman. So Dominic and his mustache walked in, and with him was Carlito. Now, Carlito was drafted along with all the other members of the LWO over to Monday nights, except that the last we saw Carlito with the LWO, he was beating up his teammates. So he walks in with Dom. Priest is pissed. He takes one look at this guy and says, what's he doing here? And he says, I haven't forgotten what you did to me. It was 1 year ago today, to this very day in Puerto Rico. That's the match with Bad Bunny where Carlito made his return. And, you know, he attacked Priest and interfered on Bad Bunny's behalf. So he has not forgotten that. And Carlito said, look, maybe if I scratch your back, you could return the favor, because obviously he has problems with the LWO. Priest didn't care what Carlito had going on. He told Dominic, get him out of here. And that was the end of that. Chad Gable, one-on-one with Bronson Reed. This did not go very long. Bronson Reed, he hit an early Death Valley driver for a two count. Gable came back with an impressive German suplex for two of his own. Reed went up top for the tsunami splash. Gable cut him off. I don't know if the spot was a simple superplex. I don't know what they were going for here, but this looked unbelievably dangerous. It actually looked to me like the way that he was positioning himself on the top rope, I thought for a second there that Gable may have been setting up for a Spanish fly, which would have been insanely fucking stupid to do to a guy like Bronson Reed. Honestly, it's insanely fucking stupid for Chad Gable to be doing a move like that anyway, a Spanish fly. What the hell does he need to do that for? I don't think that's what he was going for, but when he rotated him over, Bronson Reed, he did basically like a twist in midair. He's lucky he didn't kill himself on the way down. So this looked completely reckless. Sami Zayn ended up running in to attack Gable for the DQ. And Reed ended up laying each of them out one by one with a Uranagi. He left the ring. And the camera followed Bronson Reed to the back at Gorilla. Who's standing there waiting for him? Adam Pearce. And Pearce says to him, when is this going to end? All this carnage here, when does it stop? And he said, all I care about is the Intercontinental title. So Pierce, you know what you need to do. And he walked off. Now, Michael Cole was in the ring next. There were two director's chairs in the ring. And he introduced the women's world champion, Becky Lynch. And he noted that Becky was at the Kentucky Derby, and I'm so happy he brought this up. And I wish I would have pulled the photo myself. Becky Lynch was at the Kentucky Derby with Seth Rollins, who was wearing a hat. You couldn't see his hair. I don't know if he shaved his head. I don't know, maybe he gave himself the Road Warrior Hawk racing stripe down the head. I don't know. Couldn't tell. Becky was wearing, I guess it was a hat. Was it even a hat? It looked like something that, you know, sometimes there are accidents on the highway and then like a bumper will fly off. You'll see like a bumper or a tire on the side of the road. This looked like some piece of metal that came off a fucking car that she decided to put on her head and wear as a hat. She claimed that she bought it off of Etsy because she liked it. Because Michael Cole brought up, what is that? Like, what, to tell me about the hat. And she said, well, I bought it off Etsy and I liked it. And Cole goes, only you could pull it off. If only she would have literally pulled it off so that we didn't have to see it on her head. So Cole shifted the focus to her potential challengers. And Becky said that there's a newness in the air. She said that there are a lot of people who want to slap her in the face, and she welcomes it. And she said that she came up to Raw 9 years ago, and she wanted to make a difference and be a groundbreaker, and she feels that energy from all of the recent call-ups. That Joe guy says she was wearing a satellite dish. I think that's a better description for it. Yeah, she was trying to get DirecTV with that fucking thing, I think. I don't know what that was. So she talked about all the different people that are now in the women's division. She mentioned Alba Fire and Isla Dawn and Kiana James and Lyra Valkyria. She says she wouldn't trust Kiana James, but she would trust Lyra. She noted that, or Michael Cole noted that Lyra and Becky are both Irish, and they both battled for the NXT Women's Championship. Becky said that Lyra is the most gifted competitor that she has ever been in the ring with. And, well. So Cole brought up Zelina Vega, and she said that she's the first queen of the ring. She has passion. He brought up Becky having strep throat when she lost to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania this year, and Becky cut him off and said, nope. I don't want to make any excuses. I got beat by the better woman that night. She said the loss will haunt her. She talked about going through 14 other women to win the championship. That was in the Battle Royal a few weeks ago. Liv Morgan made her way to the ring. And she took issue with Becky talking about the Kentucky Derby and talking about all of the NXT call-ups. And yet, no mention of me. She ran through her credentials and boasted that she... Well, one credential that she didn't talk about is the fact that she's been in 3 different Battle Royal-type matches, and she's always finding herself on the apron and then getting knocked to the floor. Again, you would think this woman would learn her lesson by now. How about you put that on your resume? I did the same thing over and over again. I keep getting eliminated. That's how she lost the last Battle Royal. She asked Becky, what about that title match you promised me last week? Becky said, well, if you would have let me finish, then you would know that you're going to get your title match at the King and Queen of the Ring. So that match is now official. And she conceded, Liv did, that, I have yet to beat you. Because Becky said, look, of all your accomplishments, one of them is not that you've beaten me. And she said, well, you know, you're right about that, but things are different now that I have purpose. She said that her purpose is getting revenge on Rhea Ripley by taking everything that she loves. Damage Control came out to try to save us from this. Io Sky, Dakota Kai, Kairi Sane. Dakota took issue with Liv getting a title shot that she didn't earn, and Damage Control climbed up onto the apron. Dakota said that we're here to remind everybody who runs Raw. So now you've got this visual in the ring. Becky Lynch is back-to-back with Liv Morgan because they're trying to fend off Damage Control here before they get into the ring. And then Liv Morgan pulls, and I could see it coming, but it was actually quite great. When the going gets tough, Liv Morgan bails out to the floor because rightly she's like, this isn't my fight. This is yours. The fuck do I need to be in the ring for? So she left Becky all by herself. I thought she was going to hit her in the back of the head first. And Becky had to fend for herself against all the members of Damage Control while Liv stood in the aisleway and laughed at her. That brought out Lyra Valkyria, who ran down to the ring as Lyra is running down the aisle. She turns to Liv and is like, what the hell? And then she gets into the ring. She fights off. Damage Control clears the ring of all the heels. And that is how the segment ended. I did not like this segment at all. That Becky promo just was going on and on and on. Nobody was reacting to it. I know what they were trying to do. I'm watching this thinking this would be better if this was a pre-taped sit-down interview, not in the middle of the ring in front of the live crowd. They couldn't do it that way because they had to have Liv come out and then Lyra come out, so that's why they did it the way they did. This segment was dragging and dragging and dragging until Liv came out, which is not to say it got that much better when Liv came out, but my God, this was dying a death. So I didn't like this segment. What I did like, and I thought was smart, was sending Lyra out there in that spot. Because you send her out there, she's brand new, okay? She's never been on this show. If you are watching Raw and SmackDown week to week and not NXT, you've never seen this woman in your life. And so it was important to introduce her in a way that was going to get a reaction. If you would have just played her music and here comes Bird Girl, nobody gives a fuck. But if she's coming out to make the save for Becky Lynch, all of a sudden people maybe look at that and go, oh, who's this woman, right? She's coming out to save the champion. Maybe she's somebody important. So that was smart to do it that way. And she stayed out there because she had a match coming up. But before we get to that match, there was a segment in the back with Jackie Redmond interviewing the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn. Zayn said that his issues with Chad Gable were personal. His issues with Bronson Reed, all business. Zayn offered a triple threat match, proposed a triple threat match for the King of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. So it will be Sami Zayn defending the title against both Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. And that needs to be where Chad Gable wins the title. As I've said before, Chad Gable has had multiple opportunities now to walk away with the Intercontinental title. He has failed at every turn. He has great matches, but he has failed at every turn. Now he's turned over a new leaf. He's a heel now. He's got this chip on his shoulder. He's got this attitude about him. Now he's getting another opportunity at this title. If he can't go in there and win that title now, then when? How many more shots is he supposed to get? You know, he loses in Saudi Arabia. It's hard even for me to justify putting this guy in a title match again. Now it's a triple threat. He could win the title without pinning Sami Zayn. And maybe that's why Bronson Reed is in the match. He's going to be the fall guy. And Chad Gable can win the title off of him. And then Sami has to fight to get the belt back that he never really lost directly. I mean, he's still going to be a loser. But that's how I see it playing out. That's the only way, to me, that that match should play out at the event in Saudi Arabia. Because if he loses, that's it. It's time to move on to somebody else. And I don't think that they're ready to move on yet from the Chad Gable stuff. But now we know that that match is going to be taking place on the 25th. So Bird Girl was still out in the ring. And why do I call her Bird Girl? Well, when I used to review NXT, and I talked about Lyra Valkyria, because more so at the beginning, when she was first introduced, they had these vignettes. The outfit that she had on, she looked like a fucking bird. So I started calling her Bird Girl. She has shed some of that look, but that's it. She's permanently branded Bird Girl now from now on. So Bird Girl against Dakota Kai. This was another first round match in the Queen of the Ring tournament. About 30 seconds or so into the match, Michael Cole set up a look at the new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie. You know, last week it was The Fall Guy. Is that the movie that they were plugging nonstop last week? This week it was the new Planet of the Apes movie. And now it's one thing to promote this movie, because you have to. But then in the middle of this match, the match is going on. They put the match in a little box so they could put up a 30-second commercial for the Planet of the Apes movie. And then they come back to the match. And they're still talking about the movie. Meanwhile, this tournament match is going on right now in the ring. So Valkyria caught a charging Dakota with a boot and then went to the ropes. Dakota recovered and tripped her up to knock her off the ropes. After a break, Valkyria caught Dakota with a hard drop kick through the ropes. I mean, she nailed her with it, and Dakota splatted on the ground outside. Valkyria rolled her back in, hit her with a top rope crossbody block, followed that with a fisherman suplex for two. Dakota rallied, and she had Valkyria draped over the middle rope. This was kind of unique. She's facing inside the ring. She's draped over the middle rope, and Dakota basically like spikes her head first into the mat and got a two count out of it. A little while later, Valkyria hit her Nightwing finish, because you see, birds have wings. So she hit the Nightwing and scored the pin to win the match. This was good. It was not great, but it was good. Dakota was not winning this match. Dakota was not even supposed to be in this match. This was originally supposed to be Asuka and Lyra Valkyrie, and I'm sure Asuka would have taken the loss as well. So she was the replacement. There was no way that she was winning this match. But it wasn't a squash. You know, she had a decent amount of offense, and as far as Lyra was concerned, you know, she was able to fight back. We got to see just enough to give you a sense of what this woman can do in the ring. Here's the issue with Lyra Valkyria and the challenge that I think that she faces going forward. I used to watch her in NXT, and mechanically she's good. So mechanically she could do the moves, she could wrestle, she knows how to work. Personality-wise, there's just nothing there. Nothing that we have been able to see. Maybe one day they can bring it out of her. Maybe one day when she's a heel, maybe it'll come out of her. Personality-wise, promo-wise, very bland. There's just nothing there. And I don't know what it's going to take to try to bring out of her what might be inside of her. I never saw her in NXT when they were really pushing her and they made her the champion. And I would watch and be like, I don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't get it. I always felt that she was, if anything, being a little overpushed for the amount that she was over with the audience. Yeah, the people were respectful of her, but I never got the sense they were overwhelmingly behind her in any way. And I think she's going to face that same problem, if not worse, on the main roster. That's why it was smart to kind of align her, even just for that one segment earlier with Becky Lynch. I guarantee you they're going to do more with her and Becky. Becky is going to want to help get this woman over, especially if she's struggling after a while. Becky Lynch is going to step up, whether it's working with her or against her. I think Becky Lynch is going to end up being a very instrumental part of trying to get Lyra Valkyria over on the main roster, because it takes more than just the mechanics to, you know, get over on these shows. And with her, I just don't know that there's enough there. She's still a solid addition, though, to that women's division on Monday nights. You know, I want to see her do well. You know, that division could use another star. She's not going to be a star the way a Rhea Ripley is a star or Becky necessarily, but if she could put the pieces together, then maybe there's something there. But that's my biggest concern for her. It's the same thing I saw in NXT. I think it's going to hit her on the main roster as well, and that's not going to be a good thing. Kofi Kingston was in the back. This was a different kind of Kofi Kingston promo than we normally see. It was him by himself. It was kind of a darkened locker room, but he was sitting in one of the cubbies, basically, one of the stalls. And he was talking about how this was supposed to be Xavier Woods winning King of the Ring for the second time. Had he won, it would have been back-to-back. And so this was supposed to be his moment to repeat as the King of the Ring. Kingston said that Gunther took that away from him by injuring Woods, and he's not even sure now when Xavier is going to be back. He said that if Gunther advances, he can't wait to give him what he deserves. But first, to do that, he has to beat Rey Mysterio. He said, the legend, the icon, the Hall of Famer, the man that I looked up to growing up. Said he respects Rey, but he had to put him down unapologetically, like his name was Kendrick Lamar or Drake. He had to win this tournament in honor of Woods because after all this time, three words still rang true. New Day rocks. This was really good. It was really good. You know, normally with New Day, you get something very different in these promos. Woods' storyline hurt. I'm pretty sure it's just storyline. So his storyline hurt. Kofi now is fighting for his friend. He was totally serious here in this segment. Even the way they shot this was kind of unique. I thought this was really good. And speaking of really good, now we get to the main event. Now we get to the match that I've been looking forward to ever since Saturday when they first announced it. Gunther, one-on-one with Sheamus. And this is only the first round of the King of the Ring tournament, the final first round match on the men's side on Raw. All the people, I got to say this up first. Okay, before I even get into the match, I have to say this first because for all the people that were mocking Sheamus and for all the people that were making fun of him and even McIntyre, burger after burger after burger, this man put the fucking burger down and said, no, thank you. I'm having salads from now on. Because it's only been, what, 3 weeks? And this guy has already basically got rid of all the extra weight that he came back with. It's basically all gone. I knew it wasn't going to take very long for him to get himself back in shape. You know, or the shape he was in before. Not that he wasn't in shape, but, you know, I mean, it was going to take a matter of weeks. The guy said he was sleeping in the gym. It was only going to be a matter of time. Yeah, all right, make fun of him now. Good for him. So Gunther connected with an early big boot, and he had Sheamus on the apron when he dropped him with a clothesline. Gunther went to the apron. He attempted a pile driver, but Sheamus backdropped him, and he landed on the apron and rolled to the floor. And we rolled on into the first commercial break here of this match. Ozempic. No, it's called good old-fashioned hard work. It's called those Celtic warrior workouts. It was only a matter of time before he got his figure back. So after a break, Sheamus hit Gunther with the 10 beats plus 7 more, so 17. Crowd chanted along. Sheamus set up for the brogue. Gunther sidestepped the brogue kick. Sheamus then stuffed a suplex attempt. He went for another one, but this time his leg got caught over the top rope, and Gunther moved. So he's stuck in the ropes. And as the referee is occupied with Gunther, Ludwig Kaiser is outside the ring, and Kaiser wrenches down on the leg and then kicks the leg in the ropes. That the referee saw, or at least he saw the tail end of it. And so he immediately ejected Kaiser. Everybody cheered. And before they went into the final commercial break, the referee was checking on Sheamus, who was selling the knee, and he was begging him, don't call this match off. I'm fine. Don't call this match off. So now, at this point, the story of the match turned to the knee of Sheamus. Gunther ripped Sheamus' knee pad off. He dropped a pair of knees across the knee. Then he tried for a power bomb, but Sheamus stuffed it, slowly lifted him up onto his shoulders, but the knee gave out, so he set him back down. Celtic cross attempt, and again the knee gave out, but then he blasted Gunther with a knee to the face, covered him for a two count. Sheamus' chest. I know people were posting about, I guess he must have put a photo up on his Twitter. I don't have it in front of me right now. I could only imagine what his chest must look like. But they got a shot of his chest here, which is brutalized. Again, you could see on Sheamus, I mean, he's like a fucking ghost. So, of course, you can see anything. If he gets a fucking mosquito bite, you would see it on his skin. Now, imagine 20 chops from Gunther. Surprised that he had skin left on his body. So his chest looked completely just brutalized. He went to the corner. He tried for a brogue kick. As he came out of the corner, his knee faltered. Gunther got a half crab applied. Sheamus got to the bottom rope, though, to force a break. Gunther went up to the top rope, and Sheamus cut him off. And then Sheamus reaches up. He turns his back. He reaches up. He grabs him by the arms, and he turned it into a Celtic cross, which is his version of a razor's edge. He covered. Gunther got the shoulder up, though, right before the three count. You know, that's the second time in less than a week that somebody on the Raw roster has used a version of the Razor's Edge, and it was just for an earfall. It just kills me. It just kills me because for so many years it was such a protected move in that company. It really was. It was a protected move. You knew when Razor hit that move, man, it was all over. It literally got kicked out of, I think, once in all the years that he was in WWE, and it was like a Coliseum video match. So I don't even remember in WCW if people kicked out of it or not, probably, because WCW was just all fucked up. But yeah, second time in less than a week, the Razor's Edge unfortunately used to set up the next move. Gunther hit a released German suplex, and Sheamus just popped right back up, and he said, come on! And that got the crowd lit. Everybody is just all pumped up now for what's to come. Sheamus catches him with a brogue, and then he collapsed. And then he made the slow crawl over. He covered him, but Gunther kicked out. Gunther now, back to the half crab on the bad knee, drags him back to the center of the ring. And Sheamus is struggling, and he's trying, just, you know, desperately trying to make it to the ropes. But unfortunately for him, he is not successful. He taps out, and Gunther is moving on in the King of the Ring tournament. Both men, they're dripping sweat. They're battered and they're bruised. Sheamus in particular is all bruised up. Bret Hart, I'm sure, wasn't watching this, but if he was, I'm sure he's up in Calgary shaking his head. We all know what he thinks about Chops and Gunther. Two of his least favorite things in the world are Chops and Gunther. We all know how he felt after the Clash at the Castle match that he was there in the building for in Cardiff. So while he may be shaking his head somewhere, by the way, Bret Hart, the only two-time King of the Ring winner. I'm just saying. 1991? May not have been televised, but it still counts. 1991, 1993. Well, let him shake his head, because this was fucking great. Gunther and Sheamus went out there. They did it again. Now, of the four matches that they have had, I was thinking about this. I don't know that anything can really top that first, you know, one-on-one match in Cardiff with that crowd in that building. It was so fantastic. But of the four matches they've had, I put this number three. And that's not to say this was not an excellent match. It's just those first two matches, which was the Cardiff match and the triple threat at WrestleMania last year, were just fucking outstanding. Even the match on SmackDown back in 2022, also very good. I put this one number three, though. But I can watch these two go out there and beat the hell out of each other all day long. This was great. Gunther takes one more step towards the crown, especially now that Drew McIntyre is out of the tournament. I mean, he's got to be the odds-on favorite. Who else would be the odds-on favorite? I mean, I know we don't know everybody on SmackDown yet, and LA Knight is going to be in there, but and so you got to say, okay, there's a chance with him. But Gunther has to be the odds-on favorite to win this thing. This right here is what the King of the Ring is all about. And look at what we got tonight. Just from this and the Dragunov match with Ricochet alone, look what we got in the opening round of this tournament. Going to be hard to, top what we had here on this show. They've set expectations very high now. Next week, again, we're just focusing on Raw here. In the quarterfinals, we have Jey Uso going one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov, which is quite the difference in styles between those two. Gunther takes on Kofi Kingston or Rey Mysterio, whoever wins their match at the live event this weekend. Lyra Valkyria, Bird Girl, takes on Zoe Stark. And Io Sky will take on the winner of the Shayna Baszler-Zelina Vega match, which is got to be Shayna Baszler. And so she'll wrestle her on the show next week. The tournament matches are what carried the show tonight. It gave the matches a sense of purpose. Even the ones that didn't click, you know, they existed for a reason at least. There was something on the line, a spot in the next round. And most of the matches were very good. Not all of them, but most of the matches were actually very good. And they got a pretty decent amount of time. I didn't like the Becky Lynch segment, but the rest of it I enjoyed. I thought this was a very good show tonight. I thought that on Saturday, they mentioned that on Monday, tonight, that they would let us know what the SmackDown matches are going to be on Friday. And they said nothing about the SmackDown matches, other than that they're going to happen. Let's take a look at this Twitter poll here. How would you grade Raw for May 6th? 82.3% thumbs up, 10.7% thumbs down, and thumbs in the middle, only 7% thumbs down. So it looks like you guys enjoyed the King of the Ring tonight. Very good. When was the last time Sheamus tapped out? I don't know. Somebody will have to look that up. When was the last time that Sheamus tapped out? I don't know. I don't recall. It's been a while, though. I'm sure it's happened. I just don't, offhand, I don't remember when that would have been. I don't know. But that's what made it so effective. How often do you see Sheamus tap out? How often do you see one of the top baby faces on the show tapping out? It doesn't happen very often. It's something that under Vince McMahon, you almost never saw. Once John Cena went babyface and was done doing the Doctor of Thugonomics stuff, you never saw him tap out. That was his whole gimmick. Never give up. Can you imagine if Cena would have given up? Even Hulk Hogan tapped out to the ankle lock against Kurt Angle at the King of the Ring. You were never going to see John Cena tap out. Vince never would have allowed it. But every now and then, I think it's okay to have your baby face tap out. All right, let's check out the early super chats here before we get to the ones that you see on your screen. We always give a shout to the early folks first. Actually, we do. Okay, good. They're all caught up here on screen. Good, so you guys can see it. Very good. Very, very good. Hey, JDF. Thanks to your VPN offer, I am able to watch Batman the Animated Series on Netflix Japan. Thank you. You're very welcome, everybody. I'm telling you guys. I tell you guys every time I plug ExpressVPN. I'm telling you. You are only getting access to a fraction of what Netflix can give you. I didn't realize it until last year. How much shit I don't have access to just by living here in the States. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. So I'm glad you took advantage of that. And if ever you want to take advantage of it, it's in the description down below. ExpressVPN.com/Solomonster. Cheap plug. Use that, you get 3 free months, and you can be like JDF. You can watch Batman the Animated Series on Netflix in Japan. There you go. Jerome Eugenio. Balor is slowly becoming Ziggler, having good matches but cannot win any big matches. Well, I mean, the focus in the Judgment Day right now is not really on Balor. It's on Priest and his story. I'm assuming, though, there will be a turn very soon. And then we'll get Balor against Priest, and he'll probably lose there too. Kung Fu Joseph. Thank you for the 5. Kung Fu Joseph says, Sean offered the NXT ring for Kendrick and Drake to settle the beef. I say make it happen. Why would they come to NXT? Why wouldn't they come to Raw? Oh, hey, come to the Performance Center with 200 people. I think they could do better. Shawn Michaels is just trying to make up for all the people he lost in the draft. He wants to recruit these two. He wants Kendrick and Drake to come replenish the NXT roster. Paul Hamilton again with that $200 bomb. Paul, I hope the surgery was nothing too serious. He didn't tell us what it was, but I am hoping for a speedy recovery. And thank you very, very much for thinking of me. That's very kind of you. Paul's awesome, man. Paul, I have not met Paul in person yet. I hope to one day, but Paul is one of the nicest guys you will ever talk to. He really is. He's good people. He really is. Alex with the $10. Brother Solo, are there scenarios where rubber matches seem unnecessary and a poor excuse to prolong a feud? Yeah, of course. I mean, if you have a boring feud that nobody gives a shit about, then you don't need to do a rubber match. If you have a feud between two people that's drawing and is actually good, why wouldn't you want to prolong that and get a second match or a third match or a fourth match out of it? Pretty simple, actually. If you've got something good, then you milk it and you drag it out for a few months. And if you have something that isn't clicking, if you have two guys that really don't work well together, the matches really aren't all that great, you got no reason to prolong it. So Kendrick Lamar referenced the Sweet Chin Music in one of his disses. I still think they could do better than NXT. CNM3443 with the 999. Hey, Solo, I'm a huge fan of your shows. Just wanted to say thank you for all your hard work and giving my dad and I a good laugh during the Sandman Dark Side of the Ring review. Hyped for TNT tomorrow, brother. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's up right now on episode 860 of The Sound Off, and the Dark Side of the Ring recap should be up on the YouTube channel later in the day tomorrow, so keep your eyes peeled for it. Thank you, CNM. Alex Ochoa, buy or sell EO Sky's Moonsault or Tiffany Stratton's Prettiest Moonsault Ever? Tiffany. Tiffany Stratton's Prettiest Moonsault Ever. Picture perfect. Barry MK says Sandman is going to be added to WWE 2K24 this month, plus he is getting two WWE toys this year, first toy deal since 2007. How about that? I wonder if it'll come with a little cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Maybe a little Newport. Think Mattel will make that? What do you think? Devin from New Jersey, how many Solomonsters does it take to screw in a light bulb? One, because he does it solo. Oh, Devin. Devin, you gotta come up with something a little bit better than that, man. They're gonna throw tomatoes at you. Thank you, Devin. Toby. Wrestle Ops has the SmackDown list for Friday. All right. Well, let's check it out. Let's see. Let's take a look at what these SmackDown matches are, the qualifying matches for Friday. We're going to do this in real time. Here we go. I don't know where they got it from, but I trust that it's accurate. The SmackDown side of the 2024 King of the Ring. Here's the bracket. So the SmackDown matches are AJ Styles against Randy Orton, Baron Corbin against Carmelo Hayes, LA Knight against Santos Escobar, and Bobby Lashley against Tama Tonga. So, in looking at this bracket here, I see the graphic. The winner of Styles and Orton meets the winner of Hayes and Corbin. So, I mean, that could go any number of ways. I'm assuming that we're getting a Randy Orton win and a Carmelo Hayes win. So, Orton and Hayes could be very good. LA Knight and Escobar, the winner meets Lashley or Tama Tonga. I wouldn't think they want to beat Tama Tonga in the opening round. But you know what, though? We had that little face-off in the back with Lashley and Carmelo Hayes on SmackDown last week. So, I don't know. I could see Tama Tonga getting disqualified. LA Knight against either Lashley or Tama Tonga. Probably Tama Tonga, though. All right, so we'll see. We'll see where that takes us, though. But I don't see anybody on that side that jumps out at me as being a more realistic winner than Gunther. But if Gunther is going to go to the finals, we could get Gunther and Randy Orton. We could get Gunther and LA Knight. It's probably one of those two matches, in all honesty. I think that's what we're looking at. We're probably looking at Gunther and LA Knight or Gunther and Randy Orton in the finals. That would be my guess. All right, good shit. Shout out to WrestleOps, giving us the goods. Thank you, Toby. Larry Jester. Who do you think Howdy's group will target? I think the Pride. There's history. Howdy and Bray attacked Hit Row. And then Lashley and Bray was also being set up. Yeah, I mean, Lashley and Bray was going to be the WrestleMania 39 match. So I think that's a pretty good guess. M. Mills, thank you for the $50 super chat. Very much appreciate that. Or Wizzle, with the $9.99. I was at the show in the cheap seats, my first ever Raw. The crowd was mid, but good wrestling show overall. I like Jey Uso's song. I feel like most of the new stars need new music because it sounds so lame. Oh, you are not wrong in that. You are not wrong in that. Most of the music, I mean, you could just say it, most of the music now is fucking dog shit. You get a few bangers in there, Roman's theme, Jay's theme. I don't even think LA Knight's theme is that bad. I'm not saying they can't do better, but kind of got a catchy beat. But again, for every good or decent Def Rebel song, there's like five terrible ones, and it's awful. And the music is so important, and I don't understand why they don't make a change. You know, you're getting all this feedback from people, and yet they just keep pumping out the same fucking generic-sounding crappy music for most of the roster. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. What are your thoughts on the report by PW Insider that the new group is to be Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan, Dexter Lumis, Joe Gacy, Nikki Cross? And do you think Alexa Bliss will be involved at some point? I was surprised to not see Alexa Bliss on that list. I do think that she may end up being a part of it, but I did see the list, and I think it looks great. They're not doing anything with Joe Gacy. They're not doing anything with Dexter Lumis. They're not doing anything with Nikki Cross. I like the idea of Rowan being brought back in to pay tribute. In effect, this whole thing is to pay tribute to Bray and his vision. So I think him being a part of it is very appropriate. So, I mean, I like the lineup. I think the lineup is fine. I think there's a lot of potential there. And I'm not convinced that Alexa Bliss is not going to be part of it. I would be very surprised if she ends up not being part of it in any way. Alex Ochoa. You're becoming one of my favorite wrestling streamers, just behind my number one, which is Steven Larson's Going in Raw. Bastards. Now, I love Steven Larson. They're good dudes. Shout out to the two of them. But thank you, Alex. I appreciate that. Chris Mikesell. Buy or sell. Better gimmick? Belt. $1 million belt or broken skull belt? Growing up, what were your thoughts on those two championship belts? I thought they were both cool. I love the snakeskin design backing of the smoking skull belt, but the $1 million belt is the shit. I mean, can't beat the $1 million belt. The $1 million belt wasn't worth $1 million, but the $1 million belt looked pretty damn cool. Barry says, one of the new Sandman toys does come with a cane, barbed wire, and beer cans. No cigarette, though, huh? It can't be fully authentic without the cigarette. I mean, it's almost like they don't want to market cigarettes to children. What's wrong with these people? And the Juliet. What about the women's SmackDown first round matches? Also surprised, not shocked, that Jerry Lawler's contract is not being renewed. No, Jerry Lawler's broadcaster contract is not being renewed. Jerry Lawler is still under a Legends deal, which is exactly the kind of deal that he should be under. He's not doing broadcasting for them anymore, and therefore, they don't want to renew his broadcasting deal. Seems pretty sensible to me. What the hell are you going to keep him under a broadcasting deal for if he's not broadcasting for you? The SmackDown women's matches, I don't know. I don't see anything for it. Maybe they haven't figured out yet what they want them to be. They're probably still figuring all this out. Hopefully there's no injuries on the SmackDown side. We had two injuries on the Raw side. Hopefully there's no injuries that we don't know about on the SmackDown side. But we will find out in the days to come what the women's matches are going to be on SmackDown. Again, I understand why they're doing some of the matches on the live events. You can't have 8 tournament matches on Monday and then have fewer number of matches on SmackDown because, again, you got one less hour of television. So I think it's cool. You get a few matches on the live events that will have some purpose to them. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's fine. The goal tonight for Be the Booker was 450 likes. We just hit 456. So give yourselves a round of applause and let me see those B2B emojis in the chat because it is time, everybody, to hop aboard the Be the Booker train. Choo-choo.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Hey, you know what I just realized? Now that Braun Strowman is back, I think the Strowman Express is going to be back in service very soon. Oh, joy. We're going to get the Strowman Express. It's only a matter of time. Be the booker. Yes, indeed. That's how you want to start the week. We had a pretty good week last week with Be the Booker. All right, we kick things off here with Aussie Open. The former New Japan Strong Tag Team Champions, Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher. Where the hell is Mark Davis? When is he going to be cleared? Another one of many injuries on the AEW roster right now. Or technically, I guess, the Ring of Honor roster. All right, Aussie Open. Going to be taking on the Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. The Kings of Wrestling, man. I used to enjoy going to those Ring of Honor shows and watching these two as the Kings of Wrestling. Those were the days, man. The glory days. The early days of Ring of Honor. And now, today, I don't know what it is. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with Allison Kay. Allison Kay. And the crowd goes mild because I know for a fact there are people in this chat who are going to look at that picture and go, who? Allison Kay and, well, there's one of my favorites right there. Jamie Hayter. Jamie Hayter and Allison Kay. Now I'm sad all over again. It's been almost a full year. Jamie Hayter has been gone. She hasn't even been on social media. She just dropped off the face of the earth. She has dropped off the face of the earth. I'm hoping that'll make it more of a surprise when she pops up on TV one day and beats the hell out of somebody. She's got to get her belt back. They need her back. They need her back soon. She has been missed in that women's division. All right, men's Be the Booker. Here we go. Main event time, baby. Main event time. We begin with the SmackDown General Manager, former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. Look at this. Our first time landing, I believe, on Nick Aldis. Nick Aldis making his Be the Booker debut. And actually, I'm being told that Nick Aldis is still injured. He did have surgery recently. He tore, I believe, his bicep. And so Nick Aldis is here as the general manager of SmackDown. He's here to announce what the main event is going to be and not actually wrestle in the main event. So we have to pick two names. Well, that's the way it is. He's in his GM capacity. All right, so we begin with Mark Briscoe, the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, Mark Briscoe. Little redneck kung fu here in the main event. I like it. All right, Mark Briscoe. Going to defend that Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship against the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman. And don't tell him I said this because he is a legitimately scary dude. But that is not a main event match. That could be a good match, but that's not a main event match. I'm sorry. We can surely do a lot better than that in Be the Booker. That is an L. They can't all be winners. Nope, not a bell. Sorry. Can't do it, but I always did enjoy watching Steve Blackman. Just something about the guy. I don't know. I always had fun, especially when he was paired up with Al Snow. We were just talking about Head Cheese the other night. We landed on Head Cheese the other night, I think in Tag Team Be the Booker. Remember we were talking about the picture? We had Steve Blackman with a block of cheese on his head, and then in the background sitting on the shelf was a mannequin head. It's the Attitude Era in one photo. Donayasu says, who was buried harder, the Ascension or Nexus? Well, in order to be buried, I feel like you first have to be pushed. And then when you are no longer being pushed, you are buried. The Ascension never did anything. So to say that they were buried, I don't even know that that's necessarily an accurate word. They just were slotted in at a certain level and they were treated accordingly. Because the Ascension was never going to be a main event team. They were not a main event team at NXT. I don't know why people thought the main roster would be any kinder to them. By far, the answer is the Nexus. The Nexus, for a while, for a couple months there, the Nexus was the hottest thing in wrestling. And then it wasn't. That's a burial. The Ascension was pretty much right where you expected them to be. Hey, Devin, congrats on 36 months. He's one of our green skulls. 36 months as a channel member. Navy, so much for Ricochet and for the speed title. You called it. He is the speed champion. Bounced out of the opening round of the King of the Ring. He can take his speed title back to Twitter. That's where it'll be defended. Devin says, is it just me? Or do more wrestling careers seem to end on whimpers than bangs? Why is this? Because there are a lot of people that don't know when to call it quits, and they keep going until they get hurt. And unfortunately, their bodies break down. They may suffer a serious injury. Some people can come back from that, and other people don't. Some people, it's not even about getting hurt or their bodies breaking down on them. Some people just go for far too long, and they get to a point where people don't care anymore. They overstay their welcome. And so when their career is over and nobody cares, maybe WWE releases them. You know, their career is basically over at that point. You go out with a whimper. You know, that's what happens sometimes. And I get it. You know, it's hard to let go. It's hard to know when to quit. Very few people will go out on top. It's very rare. If there's money to be made, you're not going to turn that down. You're going to keep working as long as you feel your body can hold up to it. And as long as you can go out there and do the schedule and make money. You know, pro wrestling, you're not a football player. You're not a baseball player. Your body takes a lot of abuse, but you can wrestle into your 40s and your 50s. But there's a price to be paid for doing that. So some people's star burns brighter than others. Very few people in wrestling will make it to that elite top level. So if you just keep going and going and going, unfortunately, a lot of people, they go out with a whimper. Hey, Cameron Spencer. Saw your Women's Crush video earlier today. My four would be Jaida Parker, Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Caden Carter. Yeah, there's a video right now that is up on the channel. It was a mailbag question I got for episode 860 asking for my Mount Rushmore of wrestling crushes, past and present. So if you missed it, it's only a 2-minute video. You can go check it out on the channel. Leave a comment and let me know what yours are. What are your past and current wrestling crushes? Already got a lot of very interesting responses to that question. Hey, Uffman. Celebrating 37 months as a channel member. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett, with 24 months. Darth Panic with 24 months. Should WWE bring back the cruiserweight division? No. It's unnecessary. They already did. It's called the speed title. It's on X. You want to go watch the cruiserweight division? There you go. Ricochet is the champion. You can watch it on there. Well, thank you for all of the support. You guys are awesome. Very much appreciated here on a Monday night. And I'll tell you what else I would appreciate. Tomorrow, or later today, I should say, is a very big day because Tuesday night is not going to be the same ever again. And no, I'm not talking about NXT. Fuck that. Tuesday nights at 8:30, starting today, Tuesday, May 7th, yours truly, the new co-host for Tuesday Night Titans, along with JD from New York over on his channel. He created this show. He and Andrew Baydala did last year, and it has become a go-to show on Tuesday nights. Andrew had to step away. JD was kind enough to come to me and see if I wanted to collaborate and be the new co-host. And here we are now. It is already upon us. And so I am looking very much forward to it. We're going to talk wrestling. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. The format is open. I have no idea what topics he's got on the agenda. We don't know what we're going to talk about. But I want to blow that first show up in a big way. So come on over and support episode one with the two of us. It's actually not episode one, but our first episode of Tuesday Night Titans. It's going to be live on YouTube on his channel, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be big. It's going to be big. I hope to see you guys there. I'm looking forward to it very much so. Hey, Barry, my top four crushes, he says, are Trish, Asuka, Bayley, and AJ Lee. Not a bad list. Kevin Dunn's Bieber. It's officially my birthday. Well, happy birthday, Kevin Dunn's Bieber. How old is your Bieber now? He didn't say. The next time you will see me live here on this channel will be Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk all things AEW, but of course tomorrow night over on JD's channel, episode one with the two of us doing Tuesday Night Titans, The New Era Begins, live at 8:30 tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Be well, stay safe, have yourselves a good night. See you guys Wednesday night and TNT tomorrow. Take care, guys.